Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 12, chapter entitled Rahugana Converses with Jad Bharata. Text number 7. Tune's not coming to my head. What's the tune for? No, that's not enough for me. I need a jug of water. Someone can quickly just go and get a jug of warm water, quick. What's the tune for this? Yeah, that's it. Yep. So chanimams twam abhikashta dinan vishja nigrinan niranugrahosi janashagop. I need glasses. Janashagopastmi vikatamano nashobase bridda sabha sudrishta so janimams twam abhikashta dinan vishjani grinan niranugrahosi janasha goptasmi vikatamon vikatamano nashopase bridda sabasudrishta. Shochan, lamentable. Iman, all these. Twam, you. Adhi kashta, dinan, poor persons. Suffering more pains because of their poverty-stricken position. Vishya, by force. Nigrinan, seizing. Niranugraha, asi, you have no mercy in your heart. Janasya, of the people in general. Gopta asmi, I am the protector, king. Vikatamana, bragging. Nashopase, you do not look very good. Bridha sabasu, in the society of learned persons. And Drishta, simply impudent. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is a fact, however, that these innocent people carrying your palanquin without payment are certainly suffering due to this injustice. Their condition is very lamentable because you have forcibly engaged them in carrying your palanquin. This proves that you are cruel and unkind. Yet due to false prestige, you were thinking that you are protecting the citizens. This is ludicrous. You were such a fool that you could not have been adored as a great man in an assembly of persons advanced in knowledge. Purport. King Rahugana was proud of being king, and he felt he had the right to control the citizens as he liked, but actually he was engaging men in carrying his palanquin without payment, and therefore he was causing them trouble without reason. Nonetheless, the king was thinking that he was the protector of the citizens. Actually, the king should be the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For this reason, he is called Nara Devata, the Lord among human beings. However, when a king thinks that because he is the head of the state, he can utilize the citizens for his sense gratification, he is in error. Such an attitude is not appreciated by learned scholars. According to the Vedic principles, the king should be advised by learned sages, brahmanas, and scholars who advise him according to the injunctions given in the Dharma Shastra. The duty of the king is to follow these instructions. Learned circles do not appreciate the king's utilizing public endeavor for his own benefit. His duty is to give protection to the citizens instead. The king should not become such a rogue that he exploits the citizens for his own benefit. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that in Kali Yuga the heads of government will be plunderers and thieves. These thieves and plunderers take the money and property of the public by force or connivance. Therefore, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Rajanyaya, Nigrinaya, Dasyu, Dharmabhi. As Kali Yuga advances, we can see that these characteristics are already visible. We can certainly imagine how deteriorated human civilization will be by the end of Kali Yuga. Indeed, there will no longer be a sane man capable of understanding God and our relationship with Him. In other words, human beings will be just like animals. At that time, in order to reform human society, Lord Krishna will come in the form of the Kalki avatar. His business will be to kill the atheists because ultimately the real proprietor is Vishnu or Krishna. The Lord incarnates and sets things in order when things are mismanaged by so-called kings and heads of government. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yada Yada Hidamasya Galaniya Bhavati Bharata. Of course, this takes many years, but the principle is there. When the king or governmental head does not follow the proper principles, nature deals out the punishments in the forms of war, famine, and so forth. Therefore, if the governmental head is not aware of life's goal, he should not take charge of ruling the people. Actually, the supreme proprietor of everything is Lord Vishnu. He is the maintainer of everyone. The king, the father, and the guardians are simply representatives of the Lord Vishnu, empowered by him to look after the management and maintain things. It is therefore the duty of the head of state to maintain the general populace in such a way that people will ultimately know the goal of life. Nate vidu swarata gatim hi Vishnum. Unfortunately, the foolish governmental head, and general populace do not know that the ultimate goal of life is to understand and approach Lord Vishnu. Without this knowledge, everyone is in ignorance and all society is crowded with cheaters and cheated. Amagyan timadandasya ganunjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam Vansha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a very important conversation. between Rahugana and Jadbharata. So the conversation, actually this conversation I said last time I gave class, a couple of weeks ago, this conversation actually made me a devotee, which shows the power of the Bhagavatam. And that's why Prabhupada emphasized so much that we distribute his books. Why should we distribute his books? Because the books can create a revolution in the lives of the misguided civilization. That's what it did to me. It created a revolution in my heart, a change of consciousness. Because when someone reads this knowledge, it has the potential to change their consciousness completely. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, even if they just read one word of the book, one word. Prabhupada said, even if they just touch the book, they get purified. You know, whenever we distribute books, we put it into their hand. You know, do you do that when you put it in their hand? Yeah, that's the first thing. Yeah, because when they have it, it's a lot easier to sell the book when they're holding it. You put it in their hand. But when they're touching it, they get purified. Yeah, and then sometimes people say, oh, the picture is very beautiful. They just got purified. They made advancement. Prabhupada said they read one word, they get purified. Yeah? They look at it, they read the words, it's purifying. So that's the potential. What to speak if they go deeply into the book and actually meditate on the philosophy and have the sumedasa. Sumedasa means intelligence. No, sufficient intelligence, purified intelligence to understand it. That's why Prabhupada's strategy to spread Krishna consciousness was based on a three-pronged attack. Just like Durga, she is in control of this material world. And goddess Durga, and you see her, she rides on, what does she ride on? Yeah, the lion, or sometimes said the tiger. So if someone comes into the temple courtyard riding on a lion, immediately you're going to get, they will get your attention. You'll think, oh, who's this? And then she's carrying a trident. Trident means a three-pronged spear. Goes like that. So that is symbolic, because she controls everyone in this material world with the three modes of material nature. Everyone is under the control of the three modes to different degrees. The three prongs also represent the three kleshas, Adi Bhautik, Adi Devik, Adi Yatmik. She's controlling everyone. Which klesha have you experienced today? Everyone said adhyatmic. Either your body or mind's given you some problems. No, it's 8 o'clock, so you must have had some problems with your body or mind by now. And then adhyatmic. You see Australia at the moment. Right, the whole East Coast is flooding. Once in 100 year flood taking place. David, it's very heavy things. And it was only 18 months ago, it was 2 years ago, 18 months ago, we had the fires. Not even 18 months ago. Big fires, now big floods. This Adi David. So she will control you with that. I learned yesterday also Australia is having a mice plague. Did you hear about that? That's also up there, out the back of New South Wales. A plague. Not like, you know, a few, a plague. Like they're everywhere. Just going everywhere. They're hoping the floods will drown many of them. That's what they're hoping. Like that. So you know, how do you enjoy in this material world? Adhyatmika, Adhyavika, Adhibaltika. Baltika means the other living entities, the mice. They will give you a problem. Last night I was trying to sleep. There was one mosquito in my room. Like that. No one's fault. No one's fault. But one mosquito. So that's enough. Which creature on this earth kills more humans every year than any other creature? Mosquito. People think it's the shark or the hippopotamus. Hippos kill a lot. Hippos are dangerous. People think they're just, oh, beautiful. No, hippos are dangerous. In Africa, they get people. If they get you, you're finished. You know, people think, yeah, all these different animals, they're dangerous. The mosquito is the most dangerous. Actually, down where I live, Surf Coast Ballerine Peninsula, at this moment, there's a big problem with Ross River fever, which comes from the mosquitoes. Because the mosquitoes bite the kangaroos, and the kangaroos have diseases, and they have this particular one called Ross River. There's different ones. And if that gets you, a lot of people are getting sick. And then you feel very fatigued, and you know, it's horrible. So welcome to the material world, Hare Krishna. Please enjoy yourselves. Any questions or comments? Even COVID? Yeah. COVID is a problem as well. It's just problems here. See, that's the thing. COVID was last year, 2020. COVID-19 started at the end of 2019, right? But then 2020 was a write-off around the planet. But then everyone thinks, oh, that was a bad year. But they don't understand. It's not good for the rest of this decade. The next 5 years in the Jyotish, they're not particularly good, right? And then it gets a little bit better to 2030, and then it goes really downhill. About. I'm just saying that to frighten you. Devotees get into all this stuff. Devotees are like, oh, it's going to... Even one astrologer, he said to one devotee, you're going to die in 5 years. So devotee was like, oh, he changed his whole life plan. Now, I saw him the other day, and you know that finished about 3 years ago. It was about 8 years ago now. I said, what happened to you? I said, you're still here. Oh, Krishna's mercy. Oh. Prabhupada, what did Prabhupada say? Clap your hands 3 times in front of the deities, all the lines change. Krishna's got control now. Durga has control, but Krishna has more control. Krishna has control now. Maybe today is my last day. If that's Krishna's design, today is it. Nice knowing you all. Please give me your blessings. Hare Krishna. Thank you for the prasadam and the chance to give class. But maybe another 40 years I've got. I don't know. That's up to Krishna, ultimately. Well, it's up to me a lot as well, but it's up to Krishna as well. A lot of devotees are passing away because of heart disease and things like this. That's because of you. That's not Krishna. Because you're eating too much. That's what it is. You can live an extra 10 years if you eat properly. 60% of your health is eating. 60%. Right? 20% is exercise. 20% is supplements. Right? But 60% is what you eat. And Prabhupada was very particular. I was listening. You've been listening to these lectures, the GBC, SPT, giving beautiful lectures about Chaitanya Charitamrita. Amazing lectures. Amazing. I'm learning so much. Shruti Rupa Mataji, she used to cook for Prabhupada, one of Prabhupada's personal cooks. And she was telling about cooking. You know that book Jamuna Devi wrote, Lord Krishna's Cuisine? Prabhupada told her to write that. They're the recipes from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada said that book, those recipes should be cooked for the deities. I only learned that. So, you know, if you're cooking for the deities, that's the book. Those recipes are what the deities want. Right, it's very special. So she was telling, she was cooking for Prabhupada. Prabhupada would call the cook in the morning and discuss the spices that to be used for his cooking. And the devotees would have to sometimes, you know, turmeric, no turmeric powder, fresh turmeric. It took an hour and a half just to get all the spices ready for Prabhupada's lunch. And they're only cooking in that little cooker that he had, right? And then he would call them in the morning. Sometimes he'd say which level you would put the different items on in the cooker. It was all cooked in that cooker, which is in Vrindavan now, right? That brass cooker. So, you know, Prabhupada was very particular about what he ate. Very particular. You know, he'd say, today, neem, buddy. Neem, I need neem. You know, bitter. Bitter is such an important... Actually, out of the six tastes, It's the most important. We should be having bitter every day. But devotees are the opposite. No bitter, too much sweet. That's the favorite taste for the devotee, sweet. But actually, sweet has to be balanced. You have to balance sweet. Sweet doesn't mean like sweet. Rice is sweet. Wheat is sweet. So we're eating a lot of sweet. That's why people are diabetic and these things. So anyway, she has three, her trident has three prongs. So she's got you with Adi Daivik, Adi Baltic, Adi Yatmik. So enjoy yourself. All right. Sattvagun, Rajagun, Tamagun, she's got you. Past, present, future, Kala Shakti, she's got you. A lot of problems in this world. She's got us in so many ways. Right. So Prabhupada says, when you join ISKCON, you declare war on Maya. Right? It's a war now. Right? You're in the army, and this is a war. Huh? Hands up if you like being in the army, the ISKCON army. Yes, you have to have that fighting spirit. We are Kshatriyas. Prabhupada said, we want Arjuna or no one. Prabhupada said that. We want Arjuna or no one. You have to be Arjuna-like. I mean, we can't be Arjuna because that's another level of power. Arjuna was so powerful, it's ridiculous how powerful Arjuna was. You know, like when Indra tried to drown out the Kandava forest. Yeah, Arjuna with his bow made a net of arrows so Indra's rain couldn't get through. I mean, we can't even imagine what sort of power this is. You know, you've just got, you know, if I gave you a bow and an arrow, you know, you couldn't even hit the post there. You'd go like, oh, God. We don't even know that. Arjuna, like, makes a net so powerful that the floods like we're having up there now, all that rain couldn't go through. I mean, this is inconceivable. The power of Arjuna. But Prabhupada said we want Arjuna or no one. It means we have to be like Arjuna. Prabhupada also said in 76 at the end of his Leela, Prabhupada said, I want the benediction to die fighting on the battlefield like Arjuna did for Krishna. That's the spirit of this movement. Right? So it's a battle. Right? Prabhupada said, you have declared war on Maya. It's a battle now. So what happens when you declare war? Yeah, the enemy is going to attack you. So you'll be feeling the three modes of material nature. You'll be feeling Adi Baltic, Adi Devik, Adi Yami. You'll be feeling past, present, future. You'll be feeling all this. Right? There's a big fight now. Now you have to fight back. So Prabhupada said, how do we fight back? Right? We pick up the trident. And what is the trident? Book distribution. Harinam. Prasadam distribution. It's a fight now. So we have to do more Harinam, more book distribution, more prasadam distribution. Now the books change your life, like I was saying in the beginning. This pastime changed my life. I read Coming Back. So there's a conversation between Rahugana and Judd Bharat. I didn't even know who they were. I had no idea. I just read Bharat Maharaj. And I thought, oh, okay, some king, right? One sage. But when I read it, my consciousness changed. So the Bhagavatam says, Sumedha Saha, you need intelligence. Where does the intelligence come from? Right? It comes from taking prasadam and hearing the holy name. That's why Prabhupada said, we have to give prasadam. Right? This is one of the glories of this temple. We are world famous. This temple is world famous. Melbourne Mahaprasad Mandir. Right? It's famous around the world in ISKCON. For prasadam. So much distribution. So much. Too much. Too much means there has to be more. Each year it has to increase. Just like Prabhupada. You know, they would read this book scores to Prabhupada. You know, 1975, 76, worldwide they'd read the book scores. Prabhupada would sit there and listen. You know, it'd take like an hour just to read all the scores around. Oh, this temple, this many books. This temple, this many books. Like that. Prabhupada would set up competitions. My Guru Maharaj was running the Radha Damodar bus party. And there was big competition between him and LA and him and London. And Prabhupada, he would say to the others, because he knew my Guru Maharaj was very competitive. So he'd say to the others, come on, do more so you can beat Tamal. And then Prabhupada said, if Tamal gets beaten, he will have a heart attack. Prabhupada would make the competition. Come on, do more. So they would read out the scores for 1 year, 1975, read all the scores to Prabhupada. And then when they finished reading the scores, Prabhupada said, double it. And devotees are just like, this is Prabhupada, double it. How much prasadam you did in 2000 and, what year was it? 2020, right? So now 21, double it. How much Harinam you did? 2020, double it. How many books went out? Double it. This is Prabhupada. Right? And if we don't fight like that, the movement will not spread. We have to fight like that, right? Because the Maya is going to fight exactly the opposite, to stop us. That's what COVID was for. COVID was to stop the movement. So Vaishyasika Prabhu, you know Vaishyasika Prabhu? The great general in ISKCON. Right? Great general. He's so powerful. You know, I've spent some time with Prabhu over the years. He's so powerful. Right? So he said, okay, Maya's going to fight like this. We'll fight back. He said, 2 million Bhagavad Gita's will distribute. And he did it. Got all the devotees rallied around the world. Come on, 2 million Bhagavad Gita did it. You know, so we don't know what he will do this year. You know, you say, okay, COVID, you want to fight like this? Okay, we'll fight back. You want to fight us? We'll fight back. You watch. Prabhupada, this is Prabhupada's spirit. You know, they had the court case in America. They're trying to stop our movement. It went to the Supreme Court in America, and we won the case 5-4. History could have been very different if we had have lost that case. You know, our movement would have been shut down. It would have been inhibited in a great, great way. But we won the case. And Prabhupada was confident we're going. And while the case was going on, it was very intense. You know, we just come to the temple now and just eat some pakoras. We don't even think what happened in the past. Like, it was an intense battle for this movement. In America, it was intense. So while that was going on, that court case, Prabhupada, they would come to Prabhupada, give the report. Some of the devotees were lawyers. Prabhupada said, take all the books. You know, all the books, right? Big pile, walk in and put them on the desk. This is our authority. The devotees did it. This is our authority. We're not a cult. We are a religion. We are ancient. This is a tradition. Prabhupada said, show them the books. Right? So this is it. So Prabhupada said to the devotees, they have their opinion. We have our opinion. Now let's fight. Prabhupada would not back down from a fight. And you don't want to fight with Prabhupada. You don't want to fight with Prabhupada. You know that land, the Juhu land? Prabhupada said that was the best fight. Prabhupada said that. You know when Mr. Nair passed away? He had the heart attack? Who watches this? Is only devotees watch this? Non-devotees watch it? No, I mean, people, but non-devotees? Okay. Anyway, I'll say what Prabhupada said. You know when Mr. Nair died? Prabhupada was in New Zealand. Prabhupada got the news. Prabhupada leant back. He said, I was praying to Nisringadev to kill that demon. Right? Maybe edit that one, but Prabhupada said, I was praying to Nisringadev to kill that demon. Because he gave the land to Prabhupada, and then he took it back. And then a big court case, big fight, that fight went on and on and on. Tamal Krishnamaraj, Giriraj Maharaj, they had to fight to get that land. Right? Prabhupada had lunch with Mr. Nair at one time. You know, they were trying to get the land. You know, nice land. Everyone came in. Everyone was very nice. Mr. Nair brought his guru with him, because he was afraid that Prabhupada was going to do some mind tricks and control his mind. He thought Prabhupada was like some mystic yogi, like, oh, you control your mind. So he brought his guru. So Prabhupada fed them prasad, like, come on, eat more. So they say, in India, everyone takes rest after prasad, you know, because they eat too much, right? So then they all go and take rest. So then next room, Prabhupada's in that room. So everyone take rest. Prabhupada says, take rest. So they take rest. Guru lies down. He falls asleep. The guru falls asleep because, you know, probably some big guru ate too much. Right? So Prabhupada and Tamal Krishnamurti is lying in the other room. So as soon as he heard the guru snoring, he said, go and get him now. Go and get Mr. Nair. Bring him now. So they went in. He said, be very careful. Don't wake the guru up. So he crept in, tapped Mr. Nair. Prabhupada wants to see you now. Come. Oh, I need my guru. Oh, Prabhupada said, let him rest. Let him rest. Go and bring. So they brought the guru in, and then Prabhupada convinced him to give the land back. Right? So then it went, but then there was another pastime, and then the land went back again. It was like it just continued. It was like a battle. It went for a couple of years. And Prabhupada said this was the best fight. So we have to give prasadam, we have to give the holy name, because it creates intelligence for then people to understand the philosophy. Right? That's why it's a three-pronged attack. Give them books, give them the holy name, and then they will understand. Sorry, give them the holy name, give them prasad, then they will understand the books. That's what happened to me. You know, I read the book, I understood it, right? I hadn't had prasadam in this life. I had chanted the holy name in this life, but not knowingly. But somehow, you know, if devotees take up, it means last life we practiced. We can't be as committed as we are now if we didn't practice previously. But as soon as I read the books, it was like everything was there. Because the intelligence comes when the intelligence is purified. Prabhupada said the prasadam purifies the brain cells. And then they can understand something. That's why you have to distribute prasad. Prabhupada would not have any program if there was not prasadam distribution. You have to make sure there's prasad every time. So, Rahugana is speaking to Jad Bharata, but at this point he doesn't understand who he is. So he's not speaking to him very nicely. So what happens if you don't speak to someone very nicely? Well, what will happen to you? You will get reaction. Yeah, people get angry, you'll get reaction. Right? If you don't speak to someone nicely, then the reaction will come, the karma. So you see in this pastime, Rahugana kicks Jad Bharat. Kicks, hey, what are you doing? Kick. Very arrogant to think like that, to kick someone. That's why Prabhupada said, whenever you're walking in the temple, you never step over a devotee. You never step over a devotee. Right? What to speak of kicking a devotee. No, you don't do like that. Even when that was Navadvip Mandal Parikram in 1994. So I was serving my Guru Maharaj. He let me be his personal servant during the Parikram, for part of the Parikram. So I was with him. And then I read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when Mahaprabhu would walk into the Jagannath temple, Swarup Damodar would go in front and move everyone. So I thought, you know, my Guru Maharaj, I'm like Swarup Damodar, I'll start moving everyone. Yeah, like a new devotee, brahmachari, you know. So, you know, I'm thinking like this. So, you know, I'm walking in front of him, you know, moving the devotee. See, actually, it was just me. I was just being proud. Oh, I'm the servant of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. You know, he's the most well-known devotee in ISKCON. You know, if people say I'm pushing, I can push anyone. My Guru Maharaj tapped me on the shoulder. He said, don't manhandle anyone. He said, don't touch anyone. Right? We'll just go at our own pace. These are devotees. You don't push them like this. Because he's aware. You don't want to commit offenses. Because then they'll think, the devotee will think to me, oh, you know, who's this guy? Right? And then Tamal Krishnamurti, they might think, oh, something about him. And you don't want devotees to think negatively about you. Rupa Goswami actually says at the end of the Mathura Dham Mahatmya, at the very end, cause even Rupa Goswami, I mean, Rupa Goswami is Rupa Goswami. Who's more advanced than Rupa Goswami? Srimati Radharani. You know, you're talking about the top of the top. You know, we're going to like the highest, highest devotees. You know that pastime? Rupa Goswami tells at the end of the Mathura Dham Mahatmya. he's chanting and he's in a very deep state of consciousness. And then he's meditating on Radha Krishna's pastimes, and there's some joking going on between Radha and Krishna. So he's smiling. And then he laughs. He said, oh, there, he's laughing. So one devotee came and offered obeisances to Rupa Goswami, and he was looking at him. But Rupa Goswami was in samadhi. He was in a different plane. And the devotee had some like deformity or something. And then he offered obeisance, he thought Rupa Goswami was laughing at him. And he thought, why is Rupa Goswami laughing at me? So he left. And then Rupa Goswami's samadhi, his meditation, disappeared. And he couldn't bring Radha Krishna back in his... This is Rupa Goswami. He couldn't bring Radha Krishna back in his mind. So he opened his eyes, he thought, he kept chanting, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Couldn't go back in. He couldn't enter back into the parsa. He thought, what have I done? So he saw Sanatana Goswami later that day. He said, I was meditating on Radha Krishna and now it's gone and I can't enter back. Sanatana Goswami said, did you commit an offense? He said, I don't think so, but maybe. He said, go and offer obeisances to all the devotees. So he went around, all the devotees, right? Offer obeisances. Please forgive me, did I commit any offense? No, you didn't commit any offense. Offered obeisances to all the devotees. Then finally came to this one devotee. Offered obeisances. Prabhu, did I commit any offense? Prabhuji, I came to see you this morning. I offered obeisance to you and then you laughed at me. And you hurt me. He said, no. He said, I did not mean this. He begged forgiveness, fell down at the feet of that devotee. Rupa Goswami, falling at your feet. Saying, please forgive me. And then the meditation came back. Radha Krishna came back. Well, you have to be very careful. So Rahugana just kicked Jad Bharata in the back of the head. Jad Bharata is like Rupa Goswami, like a very advanced devotee. And you kick him in the back of the head. Right? Now you've got a problem. Now your spiritual life is going to be problematic. So you have to be very careful how you speak to the devotees, how you treat the devotees. Different types of aparad are there. What are the different types of aparad? Vaishnava aparad, Nam aparad, Seva aparad, Jana aparad. Jana aparad just means ordinary living entities. It means any living entity. Right? It doesn't just mean devotees. It means the non-devotees as well. If you offend them, Krishna is upset. That will interfere with your bhakti. So you have to be very, very careful. That's what's being taught here. You can't just kick anyone in the back of the head. You can't even speak improperly to another devotee. There are six levels of offenses, Vaishnava aparad. You know the six levels of offenses? Do you know them? Okay, I'll find them on my... I can give you anything. If it works. I forgot my code. Okay. No, it's here. I've actually got it stored. Just give me 1 minute. There it is. Okay. This is interesting. Okay. This is from... It's one of the Puranas. Skanda Purana. This is Skanda Purana. Right? Six levels of Vaishnava aparad. We say Vaishnava aparad, but what does it mean if you break it? Break it down. Okay. I'll go from the worst offense to the least offense. Okay, what's the worst? You kill the devotee. That's not good. You know? Breakfast, you didn't get the last pakora. You know, you look at the devotee. You know, the... You know, like in Kali Yuga, you don't get, just for the mental, the thoughts, you don't get the reactions, right? Otherwise, you probably have killed a few devotees already. Yeah, I'd probably be dead many times. Yeah, some devotee, oh, there's Keshara. On the ground. Yeah, it would have happened a long time back, but okay. So anyway, it says, don't kill the devotees, please. Second level, it says blaspheming him. You know, when someone's not around, oh, you know about him? You know about what Prabhu did? You know what Mataji did? They're not very good devotee. I do it sometimes. Sometimes I do. You know, devotee's not there. Oh, what about them? Now they do it like this. Not good. But we do it. So this is, it stops your spiritual advances. It's blaspheming the devotee. Or you can even say it directly to the devotee. sometimes we have to correct. See, Prabhupada says here, be very careful about how you correct and who you correct. But sometimes you have to correct. Like, you know, I'm more senior devotee in the case, so I have to correct sometimes. But sometimes you can correct too much. That's not good. Then you get reaction. Krishna said, okay, it's good that you corrected. Krishna's happy, but you went too far. Now Krishna's dealing with you now. All right? It's not good. So you have to be careful. These things are difficult. Then, being envious or hating a devotee. Being envious of someone and hating the person. There's some, I'll be honest, there's some devotees that we just don't get along with. Right? There are some people who are devotees, I just do not get along with them. They do not like me, and I don't like them. On the material platform, I respect them, and I appreciate their service, but we just... So, don't become envious of them, and don't hate them. Right? Rupa Goswami says, offer respect in the mind. Right? Okay, if you don't get along, it's okay. We don't all... You're not going to get along with everyone. But in the mind, always be respectful. Okay? Even, okay, you don't get along, but just, Rupa Goswami says, keep a distance. In the mind, be respectful. Right? Don't start being envious or hating them or like this. Then, to not glorify someone, you have to glorify the devotees. To not glorify. When someone does something very good service, and you don't say anything, that's an offense. You know, like sometimes you go and you do a lot of, like you go to the catering jobs, right? 5 days or 1 week or something. Some of the big jobs, right? Like Falls Fest, all that kind of thing. And the devotee comes back and they're tired and they just did so much service. Collected $40,000 for Radha Vallabha, right? And then devotees don't say anything. Hari Bol Prabhu. It's happened to me. Like, you know, sometimes I do book marathon. You know, I won the marathon a few times and... So, and then, you know, devotee just said, hurry, well, that's good. It's like, you know, Prabhu, I did a lot of service. At least, you know, oh, thank you, you know, something. Okay, if they don't do it to us, okay, we tolerate that. It's not good, but we tolerate it. Right? We don't react to it. We tolerate it. But we should always do it to the other devotees. Okay, if another devotee having a problem, if another devotee does good service, you recognize that. So if you don't glorify, it's an upper rod. Then, being angry at a devotee. If you're angry at the devotee, unnecessarily. Sometimes you have to be angry. Like if someone does something really silly, right, then you have to be angry. But unnecessarily, right, then you will get reaction. So you have to be careful. And then... The least serious, but still it's a defense, very interesting. It says, not to be happy when you see a devotee. It's interesting, actually. It's very subtle. But you see another devotee, right? And you're not happy, you don't look them in the eye, and you don't speak to them, then you're committing aparad. You have to understand this point. Right, because it may create a ill feeling in the heart of the other devotee. And that's enough to stop your meditation on Radha and Krishna. Right? So these are the six. Right? Very serious to least serious. We think, oh, that's not so serious, but it's an upper rod. So you have to learn these six. You have to deal with these things. Otherwise, you don't make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So it says here that Rahugana, right, he was puffed up, right? The basic point of the pastime is be very careful how you deal with others. Be very careful how you deal with others. That's the basic point. You know, sometimes we have to chastise, or, you know, some of us have to be leaders, You know, so we're leaders. That's our service. You have to correct the devotees. Hey, that's not good. Stop doing like that. Right? That's wrong. Like if I spoke right now, I can see probably 3 to 5 things wrong right now devotees are doing. Right? So I don't feel like stopping the class and telling everyone, but sometimes I do. Sometimes I say, hey, Prabhu, you're not doing the right thing. You know, your back is towards the deities. Or you're falling asleep in front of the deities. Or you're talking to someone else while the class is on. Well, yeah, that's the 3 things already. I'm not even thinking. Right? If you want me to go further? <I'll start. laughs> There's more there. Right? But that's the point. Right? The senior devotee has to do that. So that's service. He has to correct. But it has to be done very properly, very carefully. And the other person, my Guru Maharaj said actually, the last time he came to Australia, he said the guru only tells the disciple about 10% of what he needs to hear. Because he said, if I told you everything, you probably couldn't handle it. Advanced devotees can handle the chastisement or the correction. But most devotees are not so advanced. When they get something like, oh, you know, I don't want to come to the temple anymore. You know, these people are not nice to me. No one understands how great I am. You know, we think all these crazy things. You know, you get a little bit of chastisement, you can't take it. Or I'm not going to talk to that person anymore. You know, they chastise me, so now I won't look at them, I won't talk to them. That's not very good. That means you are not very advanced in Krishna consciousness. It means neophyte devotee. Prabhupada actually said the advanced devotee only needs chastisement. He doesn't even need praise. Prabhupada said he preferred the correction of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati to the praise. That's advanced, when you prefer that. I like both. I'm being honest, I do. I do, I like being corrected, I do. You know, it's not always easy, but I like it because it benefits me. But I like to hear some good things as well. I'm not so advanced I can hear, you know, nothing good. So, okay. Any questions or comments? Anything we've discussed in the last 80 years of Srimad Bhagavatam? Hare Krishna. Maharaj, please speak. Mahatma Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Jai Ho.
Yes. Yes, Prabhu.
Yes.
Do you want to explain about this Vikattamano, this verse, in this verse, Vikattamano, that word? There's a translation given by Prabhupada.
Vikattamano. Which word is it?
Third line.
Ah, Vikattamano. Okay, sorry.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. What does it mean? I'm a great Sanskrit scholar. So the Sanskrit says, bragging. Actually, I don't know Sanskrit, but I just read it. It translates as bragging. So what's the question?
Is it all right to say like that?
To brag? No, it's not so good. It's not what devotees do. What does bragging mean? It means speaking about your glories. Is that a good thing in devotional service? No, oh, I did so many things. I know Sanskrit. You know, I give such good classes. I am such a good cook. I distribute so many books. Like, that's not so good to say like that.
Today's rooster is tomorrow's feather duster.
Very good. Yeah. Any other questions? First, yeah, I'll take them all, but you go first.
Could you just elaborate on the concept of, I think it was called Janaparad, like where you said you can do aparad against non-devotees.
Yeah, other living entities. Yeah. So it means anyone. You're walking down the street and there's a non-devotee there. And I remember one time when I was a young devotee, I was in Adelaide and I was distributing books door to door, not on the street, but I was going. So I went to one shop which was near our temple. And I walked in and then I was trying to distribute the book. And the lady there, she said, oh, I'm not interested. But I was a new devotee and I was frustrated because I wasn't distributing so many books. So I said, oh, you know, you should really take this. And she said, no, she's being very nice. I said, no, I'm not interested. And I said, no, it's really, you should really take it. And she said, no, I'm not interested. And then I said something, I can't remember what I said, but it wasn't appropriate. It was something like, you know, You really need to understand this. And then she got a little upset. She's like, listen, I've said no. Like that. So I left. But then because it was close to our temple, a few days later I went back and I said, I didn't say Mataji, but I said, please forgive me. I said, I shouldn't have, you know, done that. And she said, that's okay. She was very kind. But it's an apparat. You know, so sometimes we're trying to spread Krishna consciousness, but we're too heavy with people. Or like sometimes I hear devotees distributing books, and there's like someone who's like 15 or something. So they're a young person. And you give them the book, and they kind of bring out the money, and they're feeling uncomfortable because they're speaking to an adult and they're in a party. And then you kind of almost take the money off them. I've heard devotees do this, right? It's not good. And I've told the devotees as well. I said, don't do like that. It happened to my daughter's friend. Right? They came. Right? Yeah, you might have done it as well. I don't know. But it's more than one person's done it. So, but the point is, it's not right. You know, if the person wants the book, give them the book. Go and distribute to an adult. You know, if you can't distribute to adults, don't pick on 15-year-old kids. You know, if they want the book and they're willingly giving the money, yeah, take it. But if you're virtually forcing them, because then, you know, this friend came to my daughter and said, I didn't even want the book. They virtually just gave me the book and took the money like, out of my hand. I was like, that's not good. So that's an offense. There's many offenses we could commit. So, is that okay?
Yeah. Thank you.
Prabhu, how do we train ourselves to take chastisement?
It takes practice. It takes practice. Some people are naturally good at it, and other people, they've got a big ego, so they find it very difficult. So it's just something you have to, you know, if you naturally can do it okay, then that's good, and keep going deeper and deeper. But if you find it difficult, if your ego comes up, it's like, you know, I have students in my class, in my course that I teach, and yeah, you know, there's probably about 20 devotees who are there regularly. And sometimes I chastise, you know, because they do, like now, you know, I can see devotees doing something wrong. So in that class, I tell people, you know, because we have a very close relationship and everything. And this is the morning and it, I don't know, it's a different mood. So sometimes I chastise. Most of the devotees are very humble. They're like, oh, you know, no problem. You're telling us, that's good. But some devotees, they stare me down. I tell them, hey, you're doing this, and they just look at me like, you know, they're no, you know, not like senior devotees or anything, just like, but they say, it's just their nature. And sometimes, because we're close friends, so I say to them, they're probably listening right now, Hare Krishna. So sometimes I speak to them. I say, it's something you've got to work on. Yeah, you've got like this, it's just the nature of the person. So if you've got that nature, you have to bring it down. That's all. It takes practice, so.
I was just going to ask you, what about like when we see devotees outside of the temple, and do we still like show that we're happy and we still like say Hare Krishna, or generally like in the temple we see everybody and we smile and we, you know, we just say Hare Krishna. What about outside, like do you still show that same respect, or is it just something that you have in your head, you just, you know?
What's an example?
Like even just meeting a friend or any devotee sometimes outside, like what sort of, like so, is it different from in the temple grounds and then outside, is it different?
For me it's not different. Like Nitai Premananda Prabhu is my friend. Right? We're friends, right? Yeah, we are. We're friends. Right. So we're friends. So we're friends. Like I'm his guide as well. Like we have, you know, like junior devotees, senior devotees, that's there. But there's also, you know, in relationships, there's sometimes different elements. You know, we've got like a senior-junior thing going on, but there's also a friendship as well. So it's like, you know, relationships are multi-layered. Mm-hmm. With devotees, even with non-devotees, even with your family, it's multi-layered. Like in my family, like I'm the eldest son. My father's passed away, so I'm kind of the senior. But then other times I'm not. It's like, you know, they tell me what to do. It's like, you know, it changes. So anyway, relationships are not one-faceted. They're multi-layered. So, you know, with Nitya, if I see him in the temple, then I say, you know, Hari Bol Prabhu, it's good to see you. And if I see him out the temple, I say, Hari Bol Prabhu, it's good to see you. Same thing. So I don't know. Maybe I don't understand your question, but to me it's just the same.
Yeah, like even because I feel maybe because we're new and stuff, when we meet devotees outside, they're more anxious about saying, you know, Hare Krishna, or even like somewhere in the coast or somewhere, you know, out in the public.
Yeah, well, that's just up to you. You know, like if you're in Coles, then probably don't offer your obeisances. Yeah, you can, but probably don't. It's like you see like all the 1970s footage with Prabhupada. You see like Prabhupada comes to Melbourne Airport and there's like 100 devotees on the ground and there's all these non-devotees just going. It's for a non-devotee, that's strange. You know, like 100 people on the ground, you know, like, you know, bowing down. It's a strange thing. So when my Guru Maharaj used to come to Australia in the early 90s, you know, when I was a young devotee, we used to do that in the airports. We used to, like, bow down when he came. But then after a few years, one of his godbrothers said to me, he said, maybe don't do that. Because for the non-devotees, it's a very strange thing, right? So you have to be conscious of what the non-devotees are thinking. So it's not wrong to do that. Like, the guru comes in the airport to bow down. It's not wrong, but it may also be, you know, you can maybe do it when you get back to the temple or something as well. So if you're in Coles, see another devotee, it's up to you. If you want to,
thank you.
If you want to bow down in the fruit department and then, you know, or you can, you know, just say Hari Bol. I think saying Hari Bol or Hare Krishna is okay. Like if I see a devotee in the supermarket, like if they're down the other end of the aisle, I say, Hari Bol! Like so the whole supermarket hears it. Like, because I want them to all get pure. No, I don't really do that. But you know, if I see a devotee in the supermarket, I say, Hari Bol. Yeah, I don't think most non-devotees wouldn't find that weird. Because, you know, if you go down to Coles in Port Melbourne, there's Muslims walking around, you know, there's devotees walking around, there's all sorts of, these days it's not so weird. So, not that. Someone else had their hand up? Yeah. Please take your microphone.
Thank you for the nice class. I have a request for the neophytes like myself. If possible, can you give us a seminar or some sort of about offenses and how to deal with devotees and make your dealings more refined?
Yeah, if you go on YouTube, I've done about 6 seminars on YouTube and I cover most of those things on those seminars. So yeah, it's there. So maybe live. We'll do it live again. But if you go on YouTube, just type in Keshava, I think it's Keshava Das or something else. But yeah, there's about 6 seminars I did, quite in depth about cleanliness, about different things, Vaishnava etiquette. So most of it's there. If you do watch it and you think there's more to be said, then let me know and then we can maybe do
it. What I realize during the discussion of your Bhagavatam is there are more scenarios and very fine dealings. As you said, Rupa Goswami just smiling. And then the devotee is taking offense, like, I don't know what I've done in my life just by doing services.
No, we all sometimes, you know, it's like that with every relationship with devotees. Sometimes we go a little too far, but we're friends, so we forgive. You know, like sometimes with you, maybe I'm a little bit too heavy. You know, maybe a little bit. Maybe. Or maybe not. Maybe it's the right, you know. But, you know, if I, you're like, okay, you know, it should be like 9 out of 10 are good. Yeah, and then okay, if they go a little bit too far, like, you know, it happens all the time. Sometimes devotees say to me, oh, that's a little bit heavy. But yeah, but then I look at our relationship in general, it's good. So I don't make a big thing of it. So that. Otherwise we get too like, oh, you know, can I say anything? Can I? It's like, what is that? So any other questions? One devotee at the back.
Thank you, Prabhu. As always, very, very educative. Thank you so much. Now, in the course of their discussion, the king and the sage, the question of fatigue comes up when the king, you know, has that sarcastic comment passed. Oh, you're fatigued, huh? You're carrying the whole load yourself. And the sage retorts that there is no fatigue. The fatigue is, I'm the soul, there is no fatigue. So from that comes the question of suffering. Who is suffering? Where is suffering happening? And what is this whole experience of suffering? If the body cannot suffer because it is dead matter, the soul cannot suffer because it is eternal, blissful, non-material. So where is this?
Where's the balance?
Yes, where is suffering happening? Thank you.
I have some something?
Yeah, if you look in Canto 11, chapter 28, which is called Jnana Yoga, which we're Uddhava Gita, which we're studying right now, actually, now, even in classes in the Bhaktivedanta course, then we were discussing this exact point last night. There is no relationship between the soul and the body. There is none. This is all swapna. It's all a dream. Everything's a dream, right? Everything that happens to you in this lifetime, it's not actually happening to your soul. But through false ego, we identify. Okay? So then how do we live in this world? You walk out of class, they say, okay, it's all a dream, nothing's affecting me, like that. But none of us are on that level, right? So Prabhupada was very concerned about looking after our health and so forth. If you're fatigued, then rest. Every letter that Prabhupada ever wrote, he finishes, before he says, you're ever well-wisher, he says, I hope this meets you in good health. Every letter. Right? So Prabhupada actually said to Dhananjaya Prabhu, health first, then Krishna consciousness. Right? So there's many letters where Prabhupada speaks about health. So we have to look after. If you're feeling tired, then rest. You know, if you're Jad Bharat, then okay, maybe you're not. But even Prabhupada, he got exhausted. Prabhupada got exhausted. He would say sometimes, he'd say, you know, I'm exhausted. He'd say, this management is giving me a headache. He would say all these things. So even though he was a pure devotee, but he felt, you know, he felt things. So you know, it's not wrong to look after your mind and your body and these things. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.